All right. This will be a fun. You guys, we'll see how ADD friendly or you guys are when there's me trying to preach and noise in the back, and so see how well I do and see how well you guys do. But it's important for us to acknowledge, and as we'll see today, that children play a very important role in our community. I'm going to read from the non-kids Bible, our text for this morning. That was, by the way, read from the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is, I think, one of the best kids Bibles I've ever read. I've read a lot of Bibles to my children, and a lot of times I'm like, ooh, really? That's not how it went. But this one was really well researched, and everything points to Jesus throughout the Bible, and it's really good. So if you're looking for a kid's Bible for you or for a friend or for your kids, if you like to read kids' Bibles yourself, Jesus Storybook Bible is really, really good. Shauna has a copy in the back if you want to see it. But the story that there this morning was based on Matthew 18 and a little bit of Matthew 19. And 18 verses 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and placed among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a humble place, becoming like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." I want to also read from chapter 19 in Matthew, verses 13 and 14. Then the people brought little children to Jesus for him and to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take, I'm trying to preach one of my shorter sermons so that the kids can like stay slightly sane, and so you guys can stay slightly sane. I'm sure you won't mind. But what I want to do is I want to address two key questions. One is, what is so significant about Jesus' invitation to the children? What's so significant about Jesus saying, "Let them actually come to me"? And then the second question is probably a more normal question for this text, is what does it mean to come to Jesus as a little child? So we'll go with the first one first. And I think there are a few things we need to understand, which are probably not too unaware of, but maybe you are. In those times, children weren't the most significant members of society. That's sometimes true in our context, as I'll talk about a little bit later. Sometimes that's true for us, but in that culture, children were not really significant. They were loved, but they were kind of like children, and they just kind of like weren't really important what was going on. They didn't have any political power. They didn't really provide much in terms of needs, and so they didn't have any political influence, no significance, right? And for the disciples, especially the disciples who had this agenda, as we see in the first part of this, of Jesus kind of coming and establishing his kingdom on earth and thinking that like Jesus was going to come and get political influence. For the disciples, children had very little purpose in that. Like, what are children going to do to help the disciples and Jesus get his kingdom? They were just kind of in the way for that purpose. And for Jesus himself, if we're thinking kind of like as a selfish Jesus in a sense, let's pretend like from our perspective, for Jesus, like what really do kids offer Jesus in establishing this kingdom that he's come to proclaim? Like they can't really do much for him. He had 3 years, as we understand, to get this mission done, and I've got a lifetime to do things I want to do, and I feel pretty stressed out about them already. I feel like I need to pack everything in. Right? And for Jesus, he's got 3 years to do this. And kids are distractions to what he was trying to do. We can think of it that way. Jesus had stuff to do, and kids potentially could just get in the way. And in our society, so kids kind of didn't really play a lot of role in what, from our perspective sometimes, what was going on in the culture and what the disciples of Jesus were trying to do, right? And in our society, I think we see two extremes of this. One is, children aren't really useful. They don't have any influence, and they don't contribute to society, so we kind of push them aside, much like we see the disciples working here. And in this one, we see children sometimes, unfortunately, as a means to an end, right? They don't produce a lot of stuff. Well, if you're a parent, you know they produce a lot of things. Sometimes they're not pleasant. It's 3 or 4 diapers worth a day. If in our society that focuses on professionalism and efficiency and results, well, kids don't really produce that. And we see this in church, right? Churches, a lot of times, we'd like to focus on efficiency, professionalism, results. We've got to take the kingdom and we've got to get people saved. Well, what do kids really contribute to that? And so we tend to, in churches and also sometimes in our lives, is we tend to kind of put kids in the shelf, stick them in the back rooms, and kind of let them hang out until they're big enough to contribute to society. We have things to do. We've got worlds to conquer. We've got stuff to get done. And children, they don't do that stuff. And so it could be about your job, your career, getting ahead, status that children don't fit into, or it could be about the church and getting a bigger church and being a bigger community and getting more souls saved. That kids just don't fit into that. And so far too often, children are seen as competitors or constraints to these goals, both righteous goals, which church is a righteous goal, and both also selfish goals, which is kind of the more worldly things. And despite those things being valuable sometimes and sometimes well-intentioned goals, children are left by the wayside. And what we see Jesus doing here is stating that children, and I think what he's trying to do is say, children, oh, and by the way, these are like the least in society. Everybody else in society who doesn't produce results and doesn't like give us an edge, who fit into a similar category like the handicapped or the mentally ill or you name it, whoever it is, Jesus is saying these are the people that are important to him. And we see this strange Jesus who's got this agenda, but he has time and he stops everything. He stops the agenda in a sense, or in fact, they fit into the agenda that in ways we didn't realize for people who don't produce stuff. I remember in high school when I was really active in my youth group, and our kind of, at least, I'm not sure if the leaders taught us this or if we taught us this ourselves, but our kind of like our plan to like get everybody saved in our school was to go to like the popular kids, go to like the student senate and like sports teams, football teams. If you could get them saved, everybody else would just like fit in and they would just follow suit, right? So the focus is always on the popular kids. How can we get the popular kids to come to Jesus? But I'm pretty sure that if Jesus entered into one of our high schools today, he probably wouldn't be hanging out with the popular kids in the student senate. He'd be hanging out with like the kids sitting alone at the lunch table, the kids in like the special ed classes. And no offense to some of you guys, in my school it would have been the kids in the band. But he would have started with the rejects, the losers, and the kids who just didn't fit in. And so when we talk about what Jesus is trying to do and our worlds, kids often fit into that. We don't declare them as rejects, or we don't declare them as like, but they just don't do a lot. They just have fun. They play games. They play with cars. How do they fit into what we're trying to do as adults? And what Jesus is saying is, these are the people that are important to me, whether it be kids or whether it be any other people group that fit into the same category. So it begs the question, who in our culture are the people who fit like the kids? Who are the people in our culture who we kind of push to the side because they don't really contribute to what we're trying to do? And also, how do we help kids become more important in our communities even though we don't get a lot from them? Technically. Because if you've worked with kids long enough, or you're a parent, you get a lot from your kids. But we don't get a lot of like A, B, C, D, like results and like numbers and everything from kids. And in our churches and families, we have to look for those people, look for the children and say, you are the most important and love you even though you don't give me anything tangible. Now the other extreme I think we see is that we push children to the wayside because we have these agendas. And if you wanted to take a church context, group one is like traditionally and stereotypically pastors, right? You often see pastor's kids. We always feel sorry for pastor's kids because dad's off like saving the world or like building his church, or like missionary kids are off saving the world and building the church, and the kids just get kind of pushed by the wayside because I got bigger things to do, right? And so that's like the pastor group, pastor, spiritual leaders, people who are whatever. This would be kind of like the traditional, and I'm not like labeling anybody, but maybe I am a little bit. It's kind of like the congregation members, all right? Is children are often worshiped, and everything we do revolves around their agenda and not about the agenda of the kingdom. And so we lose the agenda of the kingdom because our kids are raised at such like astronomical levels. And they consume everything we do. We see this in the typical kind of like stereotypical suburban way of life for a child. They run from sport thing to band to event to scouts to what everything our lives as parents revolves around is like making our kids happy, giving them things to do so they never get bored. And like we go ragged as parents because they're like doing all these activities. And the gospel and the kingdom and the work of Jesus is lost in the midst of trying of almost worshiping our children. And sometimes even the relationship of the parents is left to die because all of their focus is on the children. And so the children's agenda runs the show, and the kingdom is left by the wayside. And so the question for us as a church is, and for families and as individuals, how do we find a harmony between these two extremes? Because the agenda of the kingdom is so important. And our kids understanding what that agenda is and what God is calling us to do is also so important. And our children need to be part of the thing. And so how do we keep our children at the center of the kingdom agenda? How do we keep our children at the center of what we're trying to do as a church and as families and as individuals? I think first we must have the children be part of our community, even if it means we're less efficient, less effective, and less professional looking, and less perfect. I know a few churches who don't allow anyone on their stage over the age of 18 because it's just not professional enough. And while those are also, those churches have good parts going on, I'm really uncomfortable with that. Because like, what is that, what message does that send to the children? I can't be good enough. I can't really serve God until I'm old enough and I'm like clean cut enough. And what message does that send to the adults? You got to have your life together before you can get on stage and before you can actually serve God. And one of the things I love about here at the Well is that I think it's kind of clear that we let kids do things and be part of this community and sometimes like cause messes up front and spills in the back and make noise because they're so important. And I don't care on some level if we're less professional looking, if we're less efficient as a community, because kids need to have that place in our community. And we need to value children over professionalism and children over efficiency. The other thing we must do is we have to keep our children involved in the agenda of the kingdom, in the agenda of what we're trying to be as a community. And not so busy with good things as adults that the children get left by the wayside. Kids can participate. One of the things I'm learning to understand is kids can participate in the mission of God in amazing ways, in amazing simple ways. I was at a conference recently, and I heard Wes Stafford, who is the president of, I just went blank, Compassion International, where you basically like get a kid and put them on your fridge and send them money, and it's a really amazing ministry to kids worldwide, and they've served millions of children in awesome ways. And he was talking about his story and how he got to be president of this worldwide organization. And he was talking about as a kid, his dad was a missionary in a remote village in Africa. And he talks about how as like a 6-year-old, he understood himself as vitally important to the work of what he was doing, to the work of the gospel there. Basically, he would ride with his dad on a messed up bicycle through like the crazy terrain. They'd end up walking like a mile into this remote village, and they'd walk in, and you know these people would come out, and storytelling was a big part of that culture. So they'd show up, and his dad would start telling stories. Obviously, he would start telling stories about Jesus and stories of the Bible. And Wes's job as a 6-year-old. Wasn't necessarily to tell the stories, but he understood his job as to take his slingshot and shoot it into the trees when the birds got too loud. And that was his job. That was what he. That was his calling as a missionary in Africa as a six-year-old. And he looks back on those times, and he would go away to school. He got sent to border school for part of the year. And he remembers being at the border school wondering how in the world people would hear the gospel without him shooting a slingshot into the trees. And as a kid, as a six-year-old, understood what the gospel was about, understood the need to tell people about Jesus, because he got to shoot his slingshot in the trees. Like, that's amazing to me. That's amazing to me that our kids can understand and learn about what God has called us to through simple things like shooting slingshots in the trees and shutting up birds. And so how do we help our kids understand what the gospel is all about by bringing them along and giving them simple jobs and letting them participate in very important things in very simple ways? And at the camping trip 2 weeks ago, it was mostly families. And so we spent some time talking about this topic. What does it look like? How are our kids learning what the gospel is all about? What our calling is as Christians outside of Sunday mornings and outside of like prayer times? Two very important things. But how are they learning what the call of the gospel is outside of those times? And as families, are we so busy doing our life that they don't get any examples of what it means to love others outside of those two things? And so one of the questions I asked was, if we didn't go to Sunday school and we didn't do bedtime prayers, which I'm not suggesting we don't do those things, how would our kids know who Jesus is and what we are called to do as Christians? What would they learn? What would they be learning by the way that we're teaching them through our actions? And we talked a little while about what does it mean to communicate the gospel to our kids, but also for our kids to see us as adults, whether we're parents or whether we're friends of our parents, see us serving and loving those in need because of Jesus and bringing them along with that. Because I think sometimes it scares me that my kids aren't going to really understand the Bible and Jesus and the call of the gospel outside of this building. Which should not be the case. They should learn it here for sure. But they need to learn it when we go and serve, when we go and love, when we interact with people. And they need to get it on a continual basis in very intentional ways. I want them to learn that the call of the gospel is not go to church, pray a prayer, get saved, and like read your Bible. I want them to learn that it's that stuff, plus love the poor, love those who are needing, because Jesus loves those people too. And they're all going to get that if we're doing that and bringing them along with us. And so as families and as a church, we need to find the harmony between the two of holding kids to the utmost importance and bringing and making them part of our community, but also understand that the kingdom agenda needs to stay central, and that we can't let our children, in a sense, be worshipped before God. So we need to find that balance. It's not easy. It's difficult, right? We need to find that balance. And the second question I mentioned earlier is, what does it mean to come to Jesus as a little child? Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever takes the humble place of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean to come to Jesus as a little child? What does it mean to have faith in Jesus as a child? I got a really good example of this week. I set off on Wednesday to study this passage and start figuring out what I was going to preach on. And on the way here where I was going to study, I got a phone call from my wife. And in the span of 3 minutes, she broke her pinky toe, which is like sideways. It's a little bit better now, but it was pretty awesome. She wouldn't let me take a picture of it. She broke her pinky toe, and as she was on the floor writhing in pain, something happened with our electricity, and and our power was off. So she's on the floor, no power, no AC. It was like 175 that day. And she's like, she calls me, she's like, I broke my toe, I think, it's sideways, and then something happened with electricity, I don't know what's going on, and I'm like, I've got to preach a sermon, I'm like, I got to study for this text, like, how annoying, right? And it was so hot that what we ended up doing is I ended up going home, and she was in so much pain that we're like, well, we need AC, and we'd love some help with some, with the kids so that I can get some studying done. And so we packed up the kids and we went over to a friend's house from church. They have a big house, and we were able to stay there for the afternoon. And on the way over there, Mel and I are like all frustrated and angry, and like this stinks, and like, what's God doing, blah, blah, blah. And one of our kids, who will remain nameless, who's in the room, was like, this is awesome. Like, what? I get to go play with Scotty. This is like the greatest ever. I love this. And we're like, what? And we're trying to explain to him, like, mom broke her toe. And, like, something happened to our electricity. Like, this is bad. He's like, that doesn't matter. I get to play with Scotty. You'll figure it out. And it was then it kind of hit me. I looked at Mel. I'm like, oh, that's what faith like a child is. Like, yeah, this stinks. But I can't do anything about it. Like, you guys will figure it out, right? I'm going to play with Scotty. This is great. This is great. And I just sat there. I'm like, this is probably the best sermon prep I'll have all week. What does it mean for me to come to Jesus when times stink and say, I can't do anything about fixing this? Last I checked, Cole can't, like, go electrical box and, like, do some work. I can't go to whatever box God's got and do some work. What does it mean for me to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't fix this, but I trust you, and I'm going to, like, find a way to work this out and have a good time in the midst of it. And the other thing that kids kind of, kids or help, kids who have been developed healthily, instinctively get, is that when they come to a parent, their parents are going to love them. Right? Like, my kids come to me and, like, they just, you know, one just bops the other one on the head or something like that. 5 minutes later, they come to me and be like, Daddy, I love you. And you love me too, and I know it. I say to my kids sometimes, I say, God, Cole, like, do you guys know how much I love you? Yeah, totally. Do you know how special you are? I do. I know how special I am. I'm glad that they get that. I'm glad they get how special they are, how much I love them, because it's true. And kids who developed well get that. Kids who've been kind of beat up and they've abused in their past, they don't get it. So we come to children, and too often we're like adult abused children. We come to God and we say, God, you don't love me at all. Like, I'm a dork. I'm a reject. I've got, like, weird hair. Or, like, I've done stupid stuff. I've screwed up. And God's like, what? I totally love you. I don't care if you just bopped your brother on the head. I don't care if you just totally screwed up what a relationship that was meant to be good. I don't care if your relationship between your dad and your mom and you is all messed up. I love you like crazy. And a healthy kid will be like, I get that. I'm valuable. I'm important. And so what does it mean for us to come to Jesus and just get and believe that Jesus loves us? As the story was, as Strong was reading, they come and we sit at Jesus' feet and we just get that he loves us and we enjoy him. And so the question I have for you, I guess, is how do you come to Jesus? We talk about, you know, all of us have baggage, right? All of us have things that just we want no one to know about, and we want to hide them, and we don't want to tell anyone, and we kind of don't really want to tell Jesus either, even though we know he knows about it. And so we often talk sometimes about, you know, coming to the cross and leaving our burdens aside and coming to the cross. I think that's not really a healthy way to look at it. I think we grab all of our burdens and we take them to the cross and be like, will you love me in the midst of this stuff? Will you heal it? Will you fix it? Don't leave your burdens aside. Bring them with you. And say, Jesus, love me, and let me know you love me in the midst of all this junk. I think that is what it means to come to Jesus with faith like a child. At least it's part of it. There's probably more, but that's part of it. To come to Jesus and really believe and ask God to let you know that he loves you like crazy, no matter what. Because with my kids, no matter what they do, I will love them. No matter what they do. It might be hard sometimes. Sometimes it is. But I will love them no matter what. And God's love is perfect, unlike mine. And so, those are kind of where I want to stop today is how do we help our kids understand that they are important in what God is doing in the world, even when they don't produce stuff and when they kind of mess up our plans? And how do we bring them along with us as we seek to be Christians who live out the calling of the gospel? And then how, at the same time, do we learn from them what it means to come to Jesus as little children. Come to Jesus in faith, believing that he's got things under control. And to come to Jesus in faith, believing that he loves us no matter what we can think about, wrong, do wrong, feel wrong, whatever. He loves us like crazy. And so as we come to communion this morning, we're going to go right into communion. I want to encourage you to think about that question. What does it mean to come to Jesus with faith like a child? How do you need to learn from the kids in the back that he loves you no matter what? And humility is a pretty big piece of that. Knowing that, like, there's nothing you can do. Don't be so prideful thinking there's anything you can do to make yourself more fit for God. That's an issue of pride. Humility says, God, okay, I'm not, I'm going to let go of who, of like, all the things I think about myself. I'm going to let you define who I am. And we come to the table, we come to the bread and the juice, and we say, God, we thank you. Remember what you've done for us, and in a greater level, the entire created world of through Jesus healing it, bringing healing to this world. Lord, we trust that that's true. We celebrate that. We remember that. We believe it. And as I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, and Paul says, For I received from the Lord, and I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so together, as Phil leads in worship, you can come up. And I encourage you to come with somebody and maybe even like share the process, serve one another. And remember what Jesus has done for you. What he's done for your neighbor, what he's done for your friend, what he's done for who you're up there with, what he's done for people who are the outcasts and rejects in our society, and what he's done to heal this broken world. Let's remember that and celebrate that together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you set aside a world-driven agenda and said that kids and children and people groups who are not significant in production to society are extremely important to you because they are made in your image and they are your children. They have value because of their just being humans. Lord, let us as a community see our children that way. Let us see our neighbors who don't fit in the world standards of significant. Let us see them that way. Let us see with your eyes the people who are deemed insignificant in our society. And let our children and let the children around us be raised to amazing significance. Lord, at the same time, let us see with their eyes. Let us see your love for us with their eyes in a simple faith that says, I love you no matter what. Lord, let us receive that. As we come to the table this morning, let us remember that your death, your resurrection is a picture and a reminder and accomplishes that for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.